Pop Health Podcast is a public service of 24-Hour Home Care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pop Health Podcast. My name is Gavin Ward, and I'm the host of Pop Health Podcast. And today, we are in the place of my early childhood, Long Beach, California. And we're very excited today to have the executive director of CMSA, which is the Case Management Society of America, Sherry Latimer, with us. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you so much for asking me.
Well, so much. We're very grateful to have you here. And also, for the very first time, although I believe it's the second time on the podcast, we have a new co-host, Zach Morgan. Zach, good to see you.
Yes, thank you for having me. I did appear as the chairman of the American Board of Home Care on one of your previous podcasts, but I'm glad to be back as a host.
Very good, Zach. Well, glad to have you as a co-host. I want to thank Monica from CMSA for setting this up for us. It was a pleasure to speak with her. I think I called her about maybe 6:30 or 7:30 in the morning Pacific time, and she was on the East Coast, and she's a little bit confused of why someone on the West Coast was calling that early, but I'm an early bird, up at 5 a.m. usually, so Monica has been a joy to help coordinate this, and we really appreciate it. Yeah, Zach, so why don't you go ahead and take it away for us?
Sure. So, Sherry, why don't you tell the audience something that they might not know about yourself, maybe something outside of your life in healthcare?
Well, my life in healthcare has basically been the focus that I wanted to achieve since I was about 5 years old. So that alone says that I love what I do, and nursing and case management means a lot to me. But there was another in my life, and that was music. When I was 5 years old, an accordion salesman came walking by, and my dad thought that would be great, so he strapped an accordion on me at 5 years old. By the way, I had to literally sit down to hold that accordion. But it also led me down a music career that I have enjoyed. And after I graduated from college, I had the honor of singing with the Arizona Opera Company for a couple of years. So
that's excellent.
I had actually thought I would go into music, and my father said, singers starve to death, nurses can always feed their family. So that's how I got here.
That is funny. Well, very good, Sherry. Again, we appreciate it. Do you still do any music in today's life?
I do. Basically, now with my church for my own enjoyment. And I love to teach music. And when I finally retire, I'll probably teach students.
Okay, very good. Is it just vocals or any instruments as well?
I play the piano, the organ, and the guitar, but I prefer teaching vocal students.
That was my job in high school, actually, was giving piano lessons. So I understand the enjoyment that comes from teaching other people music.
Absolutely.
Very good. So, Sherry, tell us a little bit about maybe the history of CMSA and a little bit about your current responsibilities as the executive director.
Absolutely. You know, CMSA has been around since 1990, and we are in our 26th year this year. And in all of that time, I don't believe that really their true mission and vision has ever changed. It was to really be the professional organization that could support nurses, social workers, and allied health professionals, and now including physician and pharmacist, to provide the best services possible in case management to patients and family caregivers. And the job of CMSA was to give the resources, the training, the knowledge, the education, and the support that they need to be more efficient and effective and even competitive in the services that they provide. And I think our mission and vision has been broadened over the 26 years that we've been doing this, but we've never changed the focus that we embrace all healthcare professionals, no matter where they work. So we're not focused just at the hospital or just in a rehab. We're across that continuum of care, and we're here to make sure that we as a collaborative team of both professionals and non-professionals that serve this community do it with the most efficient and effective way possible for our patients and their family caregivers.
Excellent. And I know that you mentioned that, you know, the foundation of the mission and your focus has stayed the same. How have you noticed case management change or really move forward over the years?
That's actually a fabulous question. You know, up until about 6 years ago when the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act came in, many of us would just say we were in stealth mode. Case management has been around for, you know, over 100 years, but most people just don't understand what a case manager is and oftentimes get it very confused. And the title itself is often used by different healthcare professionals and by non-healthcare professionals. There are case managers that are in our legal system that are not related to healthcare.
Right.
They are related to really the case management of individuals. So with that in mind and the Affordable Care Act and the focus on care coordination, transitions of care, patient-centered care, and advocacy, we have really been elevated in the recognition of what we do. That also means that the consumer needs to understand what a case manager is. And part of our role as the professional organization is to define the professional case manager, but also what the inclusive team is that works with case managers.
Well said. I know a lot of folks in my personal life, when I let them know that I work on a day-to-day basis with case managers, they have no idea what that is. So I really appreciate that you're helping to define what a case manager is to consumers as well. One thing you mentioned a moment ago is advocacy. And before we started recording, you're about to move, correct?
I am. Yeah. I am. Our offices are located in Little Rock, Arkansas, our national office, and we also have a government affairs office in Washington, D.C. And our work in Washington, D.C. has become more and more focused on really defining what case managers are, defining the value and the role that they bring, the professional case manager, and most recently in really trying to secure title protection and attribution for not only documentation but payment for case managers. And that really requires me more and more to be in Washington, D.C. But our work is not just at the federal level. It's as grassroots as every state because all healthcare is local. And to do that, it means that we as an organization working with other partners in this organization really need to concentrate on being and defining and saying the same thing all of the time. Oftentimes, we tend to use interchangeable terms, case management, care coordinator. For us and for CMSA, a professional case manager follows standards of practice and is a licensed professional with an advanced certification.
Fantastic. So you mentioned with the advocacy and also the education and of both within your organization and outside of your organization, what is the staff structure like at CMSA?
Well, the staff structure at CMSA is a national voluntary board that the membership elects. Our current membership, subscribers, and participants is over 30,000. And we have a full board of both officers and directors. Then they have staff, such as myself and Monica that we have here, that support them in running the professional organization, the association. So this is association model that runs a healthcare client, and then being able to provide the tools and resources that you see on our websites, that you see at this large conference that we are currently at here in Long Beach, and being able to provide and strategize and operationalize their strategic plans for supporting the community.
Excellent. And what geographic reach does CMSA practice or have membership?
We have membership in all 50 states here in our own healthcare system. We also have relationships globally. So today here in Long Beach at our annual conference, we have over 9 countries that
Wow.
have also sent representatives. We also have a large relationship with our military and our VA. I met one of our military nurses that had flown in from Germany and was stationed at the air base there. So we reach out, we partner, and we really network across the globe. When you think that case management has really been around for 100 years, nobody should be trying to figure this out. You should not have to reinvent the wheel. And that's what CMSA is here for, to help in any way they can to help people really structure their programs.
Excellent. So you said your membership is somewhere over 30,000. Is
mm-hmm.
that correct? Oh, okay. So how can case managers or other healthcare professionals benefit from the services that CMSA provides?
I love that question, because a lot of folks think that to belong to CMSA, you have to be that professional nurse and that social worker. Our membership and participants are professional nurses and social workers. They are allied health folks, pharmacists, and physicians. They are our partners with our companies, our exhibitors, the folks that really provide those services. And today we are really encouraging folks that are in some of the new titles that you've heard with the Affordable Care Act, and that the patient, the lay patient navigator, the community health worker, the home assistant. So when you think about how many people touch the patient, how can we come together and work together to make the patient's journey as most quality and satisfaction possible? And so that's really where I think we stand above other organizations in embracing that full community.
You mentioned lay patient navigator. I really like that term. I'm a big believer in that. I'm curious about your interaction with folks in those roles, engaging them, finding where they are, being a relatively new role in healthcare organizations. Can you share about your interaction there?
Absolutely. You know, the patient navigator program, or role, if you will, actually began in the oncology world.
Okay.
And from that, it has grown into really two levels: the professional case manager, which is often the nurse, the social worker that's licensed, and the lay navigator. And together, in the community, they become one of the strongest teams of being able to support the patient and the family caregiver in their home. And you know what? There isn't any of us, not any of us sitting here or any consumer that I know that says, yay, 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 I want to go to the hospital. They want to be able to stay at home as long as they can. Finding a lay navigator is becoming easier, as there are many programs out there that are now supported, actually have funding and have some training. Being able to see the team as the professional and the lay navigator is probably where we see a lot of our work, that we can encourage people to really understand roles and functions, how we work together. You don't want a lay navigator to move beyond their knowledge and skill set, and you want a professional nurse or social worker to work at the top of their scope of license. So if you think about it, they can build a bridge that really allows communication between both of these individuals that are doing the same thing, supporting the patient and the family caregiver.
Yeah, in my regular work, that's something that we're trying to share the good news out there, is lay navigation does work. And here in California, groups like Health Service Advisory Group, Medicare's QIO, has been doing that type of outreach, trying to get folks trained up. So it's great to hear that. I know some community-based organizations as well are trying to identify lay navigators, folks from the same culture, speaking the same language, same education level. So it's neat to see. I didn't know until you just shared that CMSA was doing that kind of work as well. So thank you very much, Sherry.
I think what's really important is this is not a either or. This is a combined team that, if they work together, we have one of the strongest solutions to improving healthcare for patients and family caregivers.
That's excellent. Agreed. I know like diabetes self-management, that's a lot of the work that folks are doing out there. I'm sure you see it in your work as well. So very neat. You talked about all the membership and you talked about funding for some of these lay healthcare programs. What about CMSA? How are you guys funded? Tell us about that.
You know, our funding really comes from our paid memberships and from events like here in Long Beach, large conferences that our folks attend. And then, of course, there are resources, which there are some pricings that are attached to those. We also have the ability to write for specific grants. What a lot of folks don't realize about CMSA, it's not the service organization. You can't call us and say, we'd like to hire 13 of your case managers. We support the companies and the health plans and the hospitals and the long-term care continuum, and helping to make those folks that work in those fields more efficient and effective. I think the other thing that we want to say is CMSA, in its ability to be able to support that, also has a foundation, Case Management Foundation. And The foundation works to actually build scholarships that we can support nurses and social workers and others in the field in getting certifications, going back and getting advanced skill sets, and literally taking some courses that we have. So when you think about the two together, the professional organization and the foundation working to support the community, it gives us a lot of support out there.
That's neat. I know maybe for some folks new to the case management career, knowing that there's scholarships available to advance their education and their career would be beneficial. If you mind me asking, you know, I know those funds typically aren't unlimited. How does someone qualify for a scholarship? How do they apply? Can you tell us about that?
You know, we're looking for nurses and social workers because we're moving very rapidly, and many employers require that you have a advanced specialty certification in case management, whether it's through the Commission for Certification or through the American Nurses Association or other certification bodies. That oftentimes, though, is required but not paid for
right.
By your employer. So we're looking for professional staff that have a hardship, are not able to really be able to afford to do that, but want to get that certification. And we're also looking for folks that want to advance their career in this area. So the scholarships are available along with the applications online for the Case Management Foundation and along with the criteria on what they need to do.
Very good. You mentioned at the Long Beach Conference, and we're recording here at the Long Beach Conference, which I just seeing the exhibitors and things and the conference center here, it's going to be probably one of the biggest events I've been to in my career. It's pretty neat. We're pretty excited. I know Zach is excited as well.
Absolutely. I believe you said just over 2,000 attendees. Fantastic.
Wow. And there's also on top of that exhibitors and speakers and some big national names that will be here, which is really neat. I know Zach is actually going to miss a big soccer game tomorrow night. Quick plug for the USA. By the time this podcast is recorded, you'll know the outcome, USA-Argentina. we're really excited. You mentioned exhibitors and grants and things like that. Tell us about some of the organizations that are your big supporters or your big partners that help with some of those grants and make those available to you, or maybe some of your national partners. Tell us about that, Sherry.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's really quite a list that we would go through, and if I start down this list, I'm sure I'm going to forget somebody that I should really. it's similar to we have 215 different exhibits.
Oh, wow.
Here in Long Beach. We really do want to thank the pharmaceutical industry, many of our pharma partners, Sanofi, Genentech, Boehringer Ingelheim, Pfizer, Purdue, all of them over the years have supported the Case Management Society of America. In regards to many of our corporate partners that, you know, our air medical companies, our long-term care companies, even our hospitals, our academic centers, just all of the areas that you would see. We have great relationships with several of the publishing firms, Springer and Wolters Kluwer. So I could go on and on and on. I think what's most important is we don't really see them as exhibitors.
Yeah.
We see them as partners because the healthcare industry, and when we talk about a care team, it's all your professionals, but it's all the folks that wrap around that team that provide, if you will, the medications, the durable medical equipment, the home health services that give us the support that you need out there. And I always feel bad because I can't run a list that's, you know, 100 names long. But I think what I want people to understand is we don't see just one entity. We see this as a full care team that has to come together.
Yeah, well said, and appreciate you sharing about some of those great partners that you have. I know CMSA, there's a national entity, but there's also local chapters, or do you call it chapters? Or
we do.
Okay, tell us about the local chapters here throughout the states, please.
CMSA would not exist without its local chapters. It's its members that take beyond just having a national relationship into their states, into where they practice, and continue to support the networking, the tools, and the resources out to their members, and really bring to us, if you will, here's the critical issues we're dealing with right now. We don't have what we need. Can we work together to be able to get that? We have 74 active chapters right now, and we have what we call four affiliates. They're growing chapters that will go into place. So we're thinking by the end of this year we'll be up to 78. So it means in some states we have more than one chapter. Texas is a great example. It's large enough that it requires a lot more than just one chapter. We're also finding, though, that the chapters have the issues that we are all dealing with in this world today is how do you put this all together with a quality of life in your family? So we're working with our chapters to really understand, how can we do this virtually?
Yeah.
How can we do more with social media? How can we interact that it doesn't require that you have to have a meeting every single month?
Right.
And so, and on top of that, you're trying to touch the newer folks in our workforce, which don't always see that a meeting face-to-face is necessary. How do we work this together in a more virtual, online, 24/7 mechanism?
And you mentioned the online presence. Do you have some social media handles, Facebook, or how can you be found on, say, on Twitter, or how can people find you online?
Yes, yes, yes. So we have a wonderful website, and we have a great communications and department. And I know Monica's with us here. It's through her leadership and the rest of our team that we've really been able to really grow this. But we have a Facebook page. We have a LinkedIn page. Today at the Long Beach, the mobile app that we're using is actually sending out tweets and just connecting the community through a number of different things. I think, too, though, that we've built a 24/7 educational library, which allows folks during their time when they want to be able to learn and gain additional knowledge and resources. We're extending that out with webinars that we can make available, record, and people can get those when they need them and can pick them up during the times. We hear more and more from our hospitals and our health plans. We just don't have the funds for people to travel. So how do you reach those folks? And those are some of the challenges and opportunities that CMSA has, and really trying to embrace that.
Yeah, makes great sense. I know in a lot of the work we're doing, there's still some value in face-to-face meetings in certain circumstances, but definitely online is a great tool for folks to use. How has that transition been since you've been here, I believe, about 10 years in your role?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you seen a big transition into having more online tools and resources available through CMSA?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, 10 years ago when I first became the executive director, a lot of the education we did was you fly somebody out, you do a face-to-face, everybody gets together. People just don't have the time to do that, and they don't have the travel time to do that. Take a great example in Dallas-Fort Worth. By the time you travel across the city there, you've got 2.5 hours of travel time at any given time.
Yep.
So how do you help people do this? And the online resources are, how can we make those easier and faster for people to learn? On top of that, in the last 10 years, we have learned how to do online with gaming and simulation, because you want a different twist on how people learn. They don't all learn the same way.
Right. And just in case anybody is looking to find some of those resources, cmsa.org is the website, correct?
Absolutely.
And at CMSA National on Twitter. And you can also, they can also be found on Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn under the same names.
Absolutely.
Very good. So one thing we always like to ask our guests is, you've been in the role for 10 years. Tell us about a success story or just a compelling story where your work has really made a difference, whether it's in a member's life, staff's life, the healthcare community. I know it's a loaded question.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to give you two examples.
Okay.
I think that individually, case managers need to hear from their leadership, whether myself or the CMSA president or one of our board members, that we hear what you're struggling with out there, and we're here to help and support you. And once we've given that message, then they need to have the, if you will, the encouragement, the coaching, and the motivation that, you know, I can get through this. I can do this. This is an opportunity. This is not a challenge. This is not negative. This is positive. My glass is half full. It's not half empty. And I hear that quite often from case managers. As I said, our national president, Kathy Frazier, has this year made it a focus to try and get to as many of our chapters as possible. And we hear from those members that it made a difference. They went back to their job being more motivated, being more feeling appreciated, and being able to have just some of the support that they really need.
Good.
One thing that CMSA has done nationally that I think has been very helpful to the industry, in 2014, we launched a program called the Career and Knowledge Pathways, completely online. Simulations, vignettes, competency testing, you do this no face-to-face, and you have a significant amount of continuing education. What that tool has become is, if you are an employer and you are hiring case managers, if you are hiring seasoned or new case managers, this module actually walks you through the standards of practice and checks the competencies. This program has just really boomed out into the industry. It's been up less than 2 years, and we have over 2,000 case managers that have gone through this. That's where we see the difference, when people come back and say, oh my gosh, I was in case management for 20 years, and I learned something going through this. You would say someone in 20 years should know the standards of practice backwards and forwards, but they don't. And those tools are the tools that help. That makes my job easy, and it makes it very rewarding when people tell us that.
Especially with the changing times, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act and how that's just changed the entire continuum of care. The ongoing education is such a huge part of it, and so it's nice to see that really helping in the communities.
Yeah. So one last question. I know you have quite so many meetings as you're here for about a week or so. How many days are you here, Sherry?
We're actually here 5 days.
Okay, so almost a full week. And you came in which day?
I actually came in last Friday, because we're also the staff that support this conference.
I
actually have to help set it up and manage it. So we're actually here almost 9 days. But our members are here 5.
Okay, very good. So before we finish the podcast here, there's some really big speakers coming. Can you tell us a little bit about the keynote speakers, maybe just a few of them, and what you think they'll be sharing with the audience this week?
Yeah, our opening two keynote speakers tomorrow are Dr. Eric Coleman and Dr. Josh Luke. And we picked those speakers for a very specific reason. Dr. Eric Coleman is a leader in the healthcare industry around transitions and transition coaching. And therefore, he is able to share with our audience, which is basically case managers, but nurses, social workers, and pharmacists, and allied health folks, what are the key things to remember? What is most important? Dr. Josh Luke, who will follow him, was a hospital administrator, and he'll be able to give that perspective from the hospital to the community, and how has that changed? Because that has drastically changed with the Affordable Care Act. The first time in as long as I've been in healthcare, we're actually looking at hospital readmissions within 30 days, and for certain diagnoses, there are actually penalties in effect if there is a hospital readmission. So you're being charged as both a case manager, as a healthcare professional, to do this better. So that'll give a combination. We're going to round that off tomorrow evening with Melissa Thomason, who is an advocate who actually went through one of the most upsetting transitions that I have ever heard. And she talks about it from her experience as a patient, and through that, what she learned and why it's important now that she covers that role as an advocate. And as we go through the week, we have just some wonderful speakers that will continue to support our motivation and our growth and really help us both through the music side and through just the encouragements.
Very good. And one thing I learned today is there's actually some music to hand washing. I guess the biggest takeaway for me was there's music and hand washing. And what was the organization that put that? The World Health Organization?
You know, the World Health Organization is always talking about good hand washing. And they actually have a pretty good, I think it's on YouTube even, that you can see it. But it's one way to really get folks thinking. But think about it for your children and your adolescents, because how many of our kids really don't wash their hands well? So, and if you put it to music and it's a jivey music, they really get the routine down. So it's part of our learning. Since I have a career in music, I can tell you music can teach a lot of things.
Absolutely. Well, as we mentioned, we're in Gavin's hometown here in Long Beach. Does it move every year? I know that next year, in 2017, the dates will be at the end of June, correct? The 27th to the 29th?
Yes.
And does the conference move each year? Or where will it be next year?
Yes, we have a very conscientious move of this of our conference. So from the West Coast, it'll go to the Midwest, and from the Midwest to the East Coast, and then we work our way back. And we started doing that very focused probably about 8 years ago, when we saw the economy take such a dip, because a lot of our folks just don't have the travel funds to go very far. So we try to be able to hit all three sections within 3 years and then work our way back. What we need to know and understand today is just so important, that we feel that there are many places that would give us a great deal if we came back every single year and made a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
but that can be very difficult for healthcare professionals. Absolutely. So it was a conscious decision the board made that we would move it and make sure we cover all three regions within a 3-year period.
Absolutely.
Very good.
It sounds like a very impactful week. We're very excited to get to be a part of it and participate as well.
I think it's our first national conference. We've been to some CMSA events, but not the national. So really grateful for your time today, Sherry, and we really appreciate Monica setting this up for us as well. Zach, great to have you here as a co-host. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It was great. And just before we go, just to reiterate, if anybody would like to check out CMSA on their website, it's cmsa.org. Again, the Twitter handle is at CMSA National, and you can also check them out on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Pinterest.
Thanks again, Sherry, very much.
You are more than welcome. Thank you.
All right, take care.